Let's talk to Elizabeth Rosenthal for a second, then, the editor-in-chief for Kaiser Health News, about McConnell's ability or not to marshal the support the president wants in the Senate. Elizabeth, it's John. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Jump into that conversation about the president pressuring McConnell. Is this a failure on the Senate majority leader?
It's basically a failure of the Republicans to come up with a bill that satisfied enough people on many, many different fronts. You know, there's a question of whether Obamacare, the ACA, was failing, as the Republicans' narrative went, or whether Republicans were making it harder and harder and harder for it to succeed. And I think more and more people are thinking the latter is the case. So beyond that, you know, they proposed a number of bills, none of which really solved the problems they set out to solve. All of them said that, according to the CBO, that many more people would be uninsured. That was a big problem in the scoring. And now we're seeing predictions that in large part because of the instability that those efforts have injected into the insurance market, we're anticipating premiums that will go up even further for many people next year.
You're saying double-digit increases. Premiums are going to go up, not because of some fundamental change in the Affordable Care Act, but just in the uncertainty in the market. And so insurance companies are going to factor that in and charge us more to cover any future losses?
Yeah, I mean, insurance companies, like them or not, like stability, like predictability, so they can plan their rates. And so when they feel uncertain about what's going to happen with prices, with drug prices, you know, the administration keeps saying, well, we're going to control those drug prices, but we haven't seen any action. So they're looking to protect themselves. And so the rates are going to be higher. And beyond that, you know, we're still not 100% certain that those cost sharing subsidies will be delivered. So that worries them too, right? If we're still not ensure that the Republicans are going to enforce what's called the individual mandate, meaning everyone has to buy insurance. If that doesn't happen and a lot of healthier people drop out of the market, then insurers will be left with a sicker population to insure. And again, to protect themselves against that possibility, they raise the rates because if that happens, their costs are going to be higher.
But that's not happening right now. That was part of the proposal and that was defeated.
Right. That was defeated, but remember, there's law and there's enforcement, right? So if the Republicans and the Trump administration says, we're not going to enforce the individual mandate. Yeah, it's still there. You know, the Obamacare says you have to buy insurance, but we're not going to go through with those tax penalties.
Right.
Well, then a lot of people may say, okay, fine. A law that's not enforced, how much of a law is that, right? Likewise, I think for those cost-sharing subsidies, a lot of people who would buy insurance if they knew they were going to get those subsidies, if they're not sure, may think, oh, I don't know. You know, if I'm not going to get a subsidy, I can't afford this insurance. Not that they don't want it, but that they can't afford it. So again, you can inject administratively and through your regulatory agency and through enforcement how effective a law is. And we're seeing it now being very destabilized by all of this uncertainty that the Republicans are injecting into the process. Now, that's not Mitch McConnell's fault per se. You know, he tried very hard to get a bill through, but ultimately the Republicans, while they don't like the Affordable Care Act, are very divided about what they want to replace it. And P.S., all of the plans they wanted to replace it had very bad Congressional Budget Office scores. So I think all of the Republican governors are really afraid, you know, hey, if you're going to leave another 20 million people uninsured or up to 34 million people uninsured, how's that going to look next time I'm up for reelection in my state? Not very good. So, you know, there wasn't a unified voice on the Republican side about what we should do. And more than that, there wasn't a plan that mathematically worked out for the American voter.
So where is it now? The president is chiding Mitch McConnell, saying you've still got to get repair and repeal and replace going. Are there people that I don't know about still working on a different version of this? Please don't laugh.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We've just been watching this. My office here is between the White House and Congress, and we've been watching this kind of ping pong back and forth for quite a while now. And, you know, we'll see what happens when they come back from recess. There has been talk about bipartisan efforts to mend some of the problems with Obamacare to kind of try and remediate rather than repeal and replace. There's still the repeal, we have to repeal and replace narrative around, but I think they've tried that and it hasn't worked. So I think a lot of the more sober minds are saying, okay, now it's time to see how we can work together and what we can do to fix some of the
real
problems.
That. I think most people are for that, but are you telling me that process is still going on? People are still working on making it better?
Well, they're still talking about we need to work together in a bipartisan way. Whether they will do that when they come back, especially with the president, telling his Republican colleagues in Congress, you failed. He can say that as much as he wants. I don't know that the Republicans have any further cards to pull out of their back pockets. They've made their best effort to repeal and replace.
Well, and this is where
I think there's nothing left. What can they do?
I don't know, but I think this is where it gets a little political. If the president is telling the world he's off his, but isn't that the sad truth of it? This is the master negotiator, and his only tool in his box seems to be bullying. And then, in the meantime, while he's either name calling, obfuscating, or saying ridiculous things about North Korea, you can just see the Republican leadership or any of them saying, "You know what? I don't know that I want to throw my hat in any ring with you, even if it's a better." Potentially deal for the American people. He seems to be so toxic. If I were them, I wouldn't want to work with him at all on anything.
Well, I think what they need to do is work with their colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle. And likewise, everyone, the problem with healthcare, as we've talked about before, is nobody likes the current system, but everyone has really different ideas about how we should fix it. Now, some of the things everyone agrees on, right? Drug prices are too high. Okay, let's see some of the Dems and the Republicans get together and address that problem head on. No one likes that.
Yeah,
every voter would say, thank you, Representative Senator, for doing something about this. In our Kaiser polls, high drug prices are always like number one complaint of the people we poll. And so I think, okay, now's the time. They made their best effort to repeal it. They couldn't find a good replacement. Why don't we just start picking off the things we can do and do them in a bipartisan way? And I think, kind of making fun of Mitch McConnell for not being able to get this through the Senate. Well, it didn't get through the Senate because it wasn't a very good bill.
Okay, well, we'll leave it here today. Then Elizabeth Rosenthal is the editor-in-chief for the nonpartisan Kaiser Health News. And let's follow this again down the road. I sure appreciate your time again, Elizabeth.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for joining us.